We'll be looking at Romans chapter 12 this morning, so if you could turn in your Bibles there to Romans chapter 12. It is a long chapter, so I think that we will probably not get to finish it all today, but next week, Lord willing, I'll have to see how quickly things go. But I'd like us to start out by reading the chapter in its entirety, and then we will actually also go back and look at a few portions of Romans chapter 11 as well. So Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. And you'll notice on your notes there, I've entitled my message this morning, In View of God's Mercy. So you'll also see that we start out with therefore. So there's some things that we will need to look at in chapter 11, as I mentioned, so that we can understand what's going on here in chapter 12. But with that, let's start again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Very interesting words here, as all Scripture is, of course, but something that we're going to talk about and think about, hopefully, either this week or next. Verse 5 again, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You ever think of your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ in light of this? We belong to each other. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And that's logical to start to read about work that needs to be done when we just saw that we belong to each other. So in our relationship with each other, very clearly being possessed in a sense by our brothers and sisters in Christ, there are things that we need to be doing for them, and God has spiritually and specifically equipped us to do that. Verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. We'll just stop for just a moment there. And when we start with verse 11, be careful not to lose the context there of what we're talking about in these verses. And this is our verse 10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Remember, we belong to each other, body of Christ. So I'd have to say verse 11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord, most likely points to that work and service and ministry to the body. because we pick it right back up in verse 13, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And I'm sure you have picked up by now and have noticed that this passage is a lot about you viewing others as more important and doing what it takes to serve and to be in relationships with others. And we're going to look at three spheres of these relationships. To the best of your ability that makes that relationship the best it can, even when it's calling for sacrifice. So verse 19. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So that's Romans chapter 12. And in this letter to Gentile Christians in Rome, Paul reminds them of this rejection of the gospel by Israel. Not in this chapter, but in the previous chapters. We're going to look at that in just a moment. But now this message of the gospel is coming to the Gentiles. And he tells them that it is no small matter that they have been grafted in by the mercy of God. So turn back probably just a page in your Bible. Maybe you're open to it right now, to chapter 11, starting with verse 17. And it's hard to go back as far as we need to. But let's look at some of these verses that just preceded what Paul is saying in chapter 12. So 11:17 says, if some of the branches have been broken off and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Of course, this is the discussion of the Israelites and the Gentiles, right? Their rejection of the message, and now and of course, all part of God's plan, the Gentiles, the gospel coming to the Gentiles. And of course, these Christians, these believers, having believed it. So verse 19 again, you will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief. And you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, He will not spare you either. So, we looked at some of Romans this morning in our open meeting, and we looked at some of that beautiful, rich, and deep doctrine that's there. And he's gone through this very deep explanation of faith, the gospel, again, talking about Abraham, and many things, grace, all these things, that are just wonderful for the believer, but they find their base really in God's mercy. Look at verse 30. Drop down to verse 30 of Romans chapter 11. Where it says, just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that He may have mercy on them all. So then in chapter 12 and verse 1, as we just read, he says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. So he wants them to understand that they are the recipients of great mercy, the great mercy of God, that this gospel has come to them and they have been saved. And there is a danger for us as Christians to forget the tremendous mercy that we've been shown and to live our life for ourselves. What about you and I? Do we live our lives truly in view of God's mercy? The Romans were about to be told there is only one way to respond to this mercy and what God has done for them. And that's what we are going to look at this morning. The only biblical response to the mercy of God is to give your life completely to Him, holding nothing back for yourself. And that's what we read through all of chapter 12. And that's what we'll be looking closely at this week and probably next week as well. So, of course, we want to look at Scripture, compare our life to it, and change where we need to change. So we'll ask ourselves that question this morning. Does that describe me? Do I live my life in the view of God's mercy? Is my life completely given over to Him? Am I holding nothing back? Or do I rarely think of God's mercy and hold back a lot for myself as I live this life? In Paul's letter to the Christians there regarding living in the view of God's mercy covers three areas or relationships I mentioned just a moment ago as we function as believers. Our relationship with God, our walk with Him, our life with each other, the family of God, in our interaction in the world. And we're going to look at all three of these in chapter 12. And the first one is our relationship with God. So number one, our bodies are to be living holy sacrifices to God. And we should take note that the commandments here for the Christians in Rome, in this chapter, all have their basis in what God has done for His children. So we see that in verse 1. I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy. But it's not as if God has to do things for His children, so they'll do things for Him in response. That's not the idea here. Paul's message is that in view of the mercy that God has shown the Gentiles to graft them into the olive tree as unnatural branches, there's only one appropriate response. That's what we're talking about this morning. Chapter 12 is the beginning of what that response needs to look like. And the first part of that response is to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. So, the sacrifice, of course, in the Jewish mind would have been understood as giving an animal, and that animal would die. But clearly here, we're not talking about giving up our lives to die as a sacrifice like they would have sacrificed an animal. This is obviously different than that. After the animal is sacrificed, it cannot be sacrificed anymore because it's dead. But the child of God is to offer his body as a living sacrifice. And that would be an ongoing act. I just mentioned 2 Peter chapter 1 this morning, living our lives for God. And the idea there was that we would continue in increasing measure, growing in our faith. And this is similar to that, is a continual giving up of one's body for the glory of the Lord, for His will. So whatever use the Lord has for our body, whatever it is, at any given moment, this is offering our bodies up as a living sacrifice. Sometimes that might be to resist a physical temptation that we have. Sometimes it might be using our physical bodies to serve in a certain way that might be difficult, but that's what a sacrifice is. It's something that's difficult to do. We know, we say things like, well, I have to make this sacrifice in order to do this, so I'm giving up something for something else. Or that was a great sacrifice that that person made, so it's a difficult thing to do. And it brings hardship at some level. It means to give up something. So, unfortunately, this kind of living sacrifice is far removed from what Christians are told to expect or strive for today. And I truly believe that there continues to be great confusion in the body of Christ. There is too much teaching to the masses, because through media, of course, the masses are reached with teaching that is in error, and much of it is very popular because false teaching can quite easily garner a large following. And if somebody wants a large following, it's not hard for them to tell people what they want to hear. And unfortunately, what people want to hear today is that God is not looking for sacrifice from you. God wants you to be happy. And if you're not happy, if things are going wrong in your life, then you're doing something wrong, because what God wants from you is just happiness all the time. And that's 180 degrees from what Scripture teaches. God's plan for us is difficulty and trials. The great mystery for the unbeliever is to see the Christian that can go through difficulties and trials and still have joy. But the Christian gets it backwards sometimes. And they think that there's no need for trials and difficulties. There's just need for happiness all the time. There's no need for sacrifice. But that's not what Scripture teaches. God teaches that, as we see right here in this passage, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. That's what God is telling us to do. Right? God is not telling us that there will be no sacrifice. He tells us right here, proactively offer yourself up as a sacrifice. But that teaching is not popular, and that teaching does not gather large crowds. People don't want to hear that. So they'll go someplace and listen to someone who will tell them something that's 180 degrees from what Scripture actually teaches. So there is indeed a great need in the body of Christ today to hear and understand the clear command of Romans 12:2 as we move on, where it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Now remember, we're still in the context of verse 1 in view of God's mercy. So we're still looking at appropriate responses to His mercy. So let's look at verse 2, where it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. So let's pay attention to the words. We're told to not conform any longer. So we should understand that there needs to be a change in behavior. And the any longer makes that clear to us. So if somebody says to us, don't do that anymore, don't do that any longer, it means that we've been doing it in the past, right? They are saying, what you've done in the past, now do something different. Don't do that any longer. So here the Christians are told not to conform any longer. Change. Something needs to be changed. So what are we to change? Well, very clear, we're to change from conforming to the pattern of this world. Now there's many patterns that we could be following in this world. So what is Paul talking about here? Well, again, we want to rely on our context for that. In the context, really the only thing that we've looked at this point in chapter 12 is to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. So whatever they were doing before, it was not that. So you need to change from what you were doing to offering your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. So this likely means then that we are to change our behavior in this area. And if the new behavior is to sacrifice to God, then the old behavior that we are to change from must be things along the lines of self-indulgence. And that's the pattern that we see everywhere in the world. Again, not a popular message to Christians today, who are being taught that God wants them to be happy all the time with no difficulties, and certainly no sacrifices. So there needs to be a change, and we need to be evaluating, are we offering our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, as an act of spiritual act of worship. As verse 2 continues, we see how this change is to take place. The change or transformation is to be accomplished by the renewing of one's mind. So do not conform, verse 2, any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Well, you know as well as I do that God has created us in a way that He's given us our senses that we've been taught as from children, how we take in information in this world. And of course, one of those senses would be our sight. We take a lot of information in through our sight. And unfortunately, our sight causes us problems sometimes when we take in that information. We take in information from touching, feel, right? We feel things physically. Keeps us safe if we feel something hot by the touch, or if we're getting too close to something hot. We sense that, and we back up, too close to a fire or something like that. We hear things. That keeps us safe as well. And all these senses, these five senses that we have, we gather information, and we know how to live life as a response to them. And with that being said, His Word is the greatest source of information that is completely sufficient to renew our minds regularly. So we read it, and we study it, and we understand it through the opening of our eyes by the Holy Spirit. And that's the way our mind is renewed. So we gather in information from God through His Word. That was clearly His plan, right? That He would preserve His Word over the centuries so that we would have it to know how to please Him and to know His will. So His Word is the greatest source of that transformation. But the world is also filled with information that will affect our minds. And it does not take extreme intelligence to understand what happens when we choose to subject our minds to the wisdom of the world as opposed to the truth of God's Word. This should be a significant challenge for all of us, and it should be for the body. This is going to affect, and we'll, in our next point, we'll look at how we serve one another, how God has planned for us to serve one another in the body. But here is a decision point, I guess you would call it, for the Christian. Am I going to be prepared to serve in the body of Christ and to walk with the Lord by God's Word, or am I going to take in the world on a regular basis? Am I going to look at the world and say, oh, that's pretty neat stuff? Am I going to listen to the people of the world talk and say, hey, that makes a lot of sense, without even comparing it to Scripture? Are we going to be swept up, swept along by the world, and then find ourselves in a place where we are very ineffective when it comes to having ministry in the body? And the church is weak because of this, because there is this belief and practice of saying that I can be in the world, I can listen to what it says all the time, I can be influenced by it, but it will not really affect my life and my walk with God and how I can serve the body of Christ. And we'll look at our third point as well, how I will be effective in that world. And too many Christians drink it in. And they'll say, I can do both. I can be affected by a regular diet of nonsense of the world, and it's not going to affect me. And then we have significant problems. This should be a great challenge to us as we read a passage like Romans chapter 12, where clearly, by the Holy Spirit, Paul is telling us there needs to be a break. There needs to be a significant difference. You should be able to hear what the world says and recognize it as nonsense from the very beginning. But if we're not, if our minds are not renewed, if we're not transformed, we'll soak that up like a sponge, what the world has to teach us. And then that will draw into question what Scripture has to teach us. And that's exactly what Satan would have us do. We read later in this chapter, Paul tells people, don't think more highly of yourselves than you should think. And that's probably where we run into a lot of our problems, that we think that we can take in, soak in all the world has for us and not be affected by it. And that is foolishness, and that is what the enemy would like us to believe. So I hope you will take that challenge along with me and renew a commitment to God's Word, if that's what's needed in your life, and to renew a commitment to reject the foolishness of the world. God gave us senses to bring in His knowledge and His truth, but those senses also bring in foolishness as well, and we need to be prepared to reject that. This is part of making a sacrifice. This is part of saying to the world, what you are offering looks good to me, but I know it is hollow and shallow, and I want nothing to do with it. Well, all of this, offering up our bodies, no longer conforming, changing from self-indulgence to sacrifice, renewing our minds, and being transformed brings its own particular outcome. And that's at the end of verse 2. So let's start at verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, I'll just mention quickly, this verse isn't talking about us looking at God's will and us approving of it, saying, oh, okay, your will, God, that's good. I approve of it. I've tested it, and you're right, your will is good. It is more along the lines you will be able to understand what it is. By the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You will be able to see and understand what God is doing, and you will understand, hey, that's very good. That's right, and that's what I want, to do the will of God. But that's not always of extreme importance to the Christian. And we should, as we continue to ask ourselves questions, we should ask ourselves this question as well. How important is the will of God to me for my life? And maybe one way you could answer that question is to stop and consider how often you find yourself thinking about it. Am I doing what God has called me to do? Am I in the Word enough to be able to, by the transforming of my mind, to be able to test and approve what that is? Do I have any clue of what God's will is? Do we find ourselves floundering, saying, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, there would be a reason for that, because we are not using those senses that God has given us to bring in the knowledge that He's given us of His Word. Because it says, if we will do that, if our minds will be transformed, and that's the way God transforms our minds with His Word, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And don't let those words be lost on you there. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So He has a will for us. By the transforming of our minds, we will understand it. But if we are not, if our minds are not transformed, if we still conform to the pattern of this world, that will be confusing to us. We won't understand it, and we won't be able to follow it, and we won't be able to please God. So is it important to you? When we are willing to sacrifice, we will have the discernment about God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Is it valuable? Is it worth the sacrifice? Is it worth your spiritual act of worship? Living according to Romans 12, 1 and 2 will not only make you different from the world, it will make you different from most of the body of Christ. And I say that in humility, I hope, knowing that I will also fall into the temptation of not being renewed and transformed and not understanding the will of God if I am not regularly being changed by His Word and having my mind changed and transformed. So if there are too many things in this world that are more important to me than to knowing that will, and if I understand that knowing that will is by knowing the Word of God, then I will not be able to please God. I will not understand His will. I will be doing my own thing, living my own life, and I'm going to be part of that weak church. And that's going to cause me a problem not only with my walk with Him, that's going to cause me a problem if I desire to serve in the body of Christ. Not only will I not be able to serve, I will probably and potentially cause damage because I don't know what I'm doing. I've been gifted with some kind of gift, as you have. I'm either not using it or maybe using it in the wrong way. So I will cause problems. So there's two spheres. And then how am I going to be effective in this world, as Paul tells these Romans to be? And we'll look at that in our third point that we will get to next week. So I'll ask you again, how often do you think about living your life in the view of God's mercy? I would challenge us to be thinking about it often, to be thinking about the fact that He has chosen to save us, to graft us in. Because there are many that He has chosen not to save. Specifically not to save, but you He chose to save. If you know Christ, of course. Those are no small things. Those truths should cause us to live in a certain way. We need to respond to God's mercy the biblical way. And the only biblical response to the mercy of God is to give your life completely to Him, holding nothing back for yourself. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we tell you thank you again for the grace that you've shown us and this tremendous mercy that you have shown to us. Again, we would ask for diligence and wisdom, and help us to sacrifice where we need to sacrifice so that we can be useful in your hands, so that we are looking for the opportunities to use our bodies specifically, as we looked at this morning from your word, as a sacrifice, as a spiritual act of worship. We thank you, Father, that we can be in your service. We ask that you would help us to do it in a way that is pleasing to you and according to your will. And we ask this in Christ's name.